Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I got bug bites on my legs. I got two friends who look alike. I got coffee in the morning and my mama in the night. And I got bad news, but I didn't fight. I got bad news, but I didn't fight. I got a big wheel in Montana, and he told me yesterday that a year ago he looked me in the eyes and lied to me. Got an old friend in Japan, she's been mad at me before. It's just that she and I have got nothing in common anymore. He feels bad for doing what he did that night. She bought new shoes in Tokyo. And I got bad news, but I didn't fight. I got bad news, but I didn't fight.
That's Big Wheel by New York-based singer-songwriter Samia from her debut album, The Baby. In 2017, Samia became an artist to watch with an eclectic batch of singles, including a tribute to indie icon Father John Misty, as well as a feminist pop rock anthem called Someone Tell the Boys that landed her on a Spotify playlist with the title Badass Women. It was around that time that she also started working on The Baby. She wrote the album over the next 2 years while on tour. Complex said of her work, quote, a stunning indie rock debut project that cements the 23-year-old as an essential rising star, and Pitchfork praised its, quote, subtle, reflective songwriting and poetic lyrical beauty. Samia joins me now for an All of It listening party, and she's also shared an exclusive performance with us that we're going to play a little later on. Samia, welcome to All of It.
Thank you for having me.
So you've released a number of singles over the last couple of years, and you've got this fan base cemented, but this is your first full-length album. What was something that you didn't expect about working on a full-length album?
Oh, all of it. I mean, this is my first time. This was really my first time writing intentionally for a project with the thesis in mind. And so it took a lot of navigating that thesis and deciding what was important for me to say, like a lot more whittling down than I'm used to. And also, just doing it, releasing it, and having the rollout happen during a pandemic is not what I expected, but also interesting to find like new alternative, innovative ways to talk about it.
So what's that thesis? You said you had a thesis about the album.
It started with just a basic fear of being alone. And then, it sort of, with hindsight, after writing the songs, I realized it was so much about needing people and letting go of the shame and needing people and leaning on people, trying to accept that part of myself that needs community and wouldn't be where I am or who I am without the people who I rely on.
Well, that seems pretty prescient for the moment where we're all alone, but also finding out that we need people, but we have to be alone at the same time. It's sort of interesting that you tapped into that earlier. Do you hear the record differently now that we've been sort of secluded?
Yeah, I mean, I think being alone helped me, highlight the juxtaposition in my life before and my life now and the people who were factors in helping me, do all this introspection and have all this self-discovery. It was so necessary to have the people involved that were, especially just in the production and the making of the record and the songwriting. It took so many different tastes and opinions.
What effect did this being your debut have on the songs that you chose to include or on the production, on the way you sequenced the album?
The debut.
Yeah, that this is your first, this is your debut. What effect did that have? What was going through your mind in terms of the songs you chose or in the order you put them on the album?
That's a good question. I think it was just exciting to have, a compilation of songs for the first time. I've just been so focused on sort of, spewing songs that I have been sitting on. And we've been playing shows, we've been gigging as this project for so long that I think for a long time it was just about sharing what I'd written, and this was so much more about creating something that had a through line and a narrative that made sense to me. So a lot of it was, yeah, just about the storytelling. Like, I got to tell a story in the most thorough way that I've ever been able to.
My guest is Samia. The name of her debut album is The Baby. So the first song on the album is called Pool, and it starts with some found sound. Can you tell us about it's a voicemail from your grandmother, your late grandmother, I read, and she's speaking in Arabic. Is that right?
Yeah. So we share a name. And so that's a lullaby that's been passed down for generations. Her grandmother used to sing it to her. And so that I grew up listening to that, and I thought it was sort of an accurate representation or like introduction to me. If there was anyone I would want to introduce me, it would be her. And so we were writing that song like 3 a.m., me and my friend. And I was like, why don't you just throw this on there and see how it sounds? And then it sort of like tied the whole thing up so beautifully to me.
Well, let's take a listen. Here's Pool from Samia.
I said loving you is bigger than my head, and then you dove in, and then I said I'm afraid that I need men. You said need me.
That's from her debut album, The Baby, Samia. Why is the album called The Baby?
My parents growing up, to prove they were telling the truth, used to say, I swear on the baby. And in that case, the baby was me. And then also, I just don't like to be alone. And when my friends will leave a party or a room, I'll say, who's going to watch the baby? And I'm also the baby in that context. So it made sense.
Well, let's listen to another song from the album. This one has some good crunchy guitars. That one was really ethereal. It's called Fit and Full. What did you want to say about body image in these lyrics?
It was just mostly about, I was living in the East Village at the time, and it's my favorite place in the world. And I was so just enamored with the culture and the energy around me and the people. And at that time, I really could only focus on my like dumb body, and it felt like a waste of my brain. And so I just wanted to write this song from the perspective of someone who didn't care about any of that and was just like blatantly confident.
This is Fit and Full from Samia.
I can take it.
It in Full from Samia. So the song shouts out a whole bunch of New York locations, and you moved here as a teenager. How did moving to New York affect your songwriting?
It was the only reason that I was able to perform live, or it was the way that I learned how to do that. There wasn't much of that in Los Angeles where I grew up for me, or that I knew about, was accessible to me. So as soon as I got here, I started taking my guitar to like every open mic night that I could, and just begging everyone to be in their bands. And so I got like more experience doing that probably than I would have been able to if I'd stayed where I was.
And that's the upside of being in New York, and grab your guitar, you can get in the subway, public transportation, get around, talk to people. What's the challenging side of being an up-and-comer in New York?
There's just so much of it. I mean, you are just one of like 1,000 bands in your community, in your area. And so, I mean, but that was also the most important thing to me, was to be able to learn from the people around me. And everyone, you know, despite there being varying levels of like competition, there's just so much support and such a strong sense of community and love that like gave me the confidence to try.
My guest is Samia, and we're talking about her debut album, The Baby. We're having an All of It listening party. So there's a song on the album called Waverly, where you sing about a restaurant in the East Village where all the waiters are celebrities. Can you share what restaurant it is?
Yeah, it's called Mud. It's on 9th Street and 2nd Avenue. It's my favorite place to go.
Let's listen to Waverly.
There's a restaurant in the East Village where all the waiters are celebrities. My first love waited hours in the back, making brazen advances toward Waverly. There's Laura, the movie star, leaving his number for her on an old receipt. All I know is that she didn't call him. What a mystery, Waverly. Dressed up like a person.
That's Waverly by Samia. There's some really great production on this album. Who do you want to shout out? Who really helped you?
Oh my God, so many people. Caleb Hins, he's got a band called Happy Children. He's a producer out of Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. Nathan Stalker and Jake Lupin. They're in a band called Hippocampus, and they all have a band together called Baby Boys that I think is genius. And then, so I tracked it all with them, and I did pre-production in Los Angeles with this guy, Lars Stolfers. He's also amazing, and then he mixed the record. So it was a pretty solid collaboration between me and those four guys.
And you've done a couple of videos for songs. What do you look for when you're making a video? I think I know one of your video directors. I realized as I was watching them. Fred? Is it Fred from St. Anne's?
You know Fred?
Yeah.
Fred's my oldest friend. Fred is the person in my life that I've known the longest, probably.
I'm really good friends with, I know Fred's parents, and I'm really good friends with his aunt. In fact, there's like a case of rosé upstairs from her. Well, it's half a case now. But at the beginning of the summer, she had a case of wine from her recently. So hi, Leah, Fred, if you're listening.
Yeah, that's so exciting. I got to tell him. Yeah, that was a great example of me. I love to, like, I have so many friends who are filmmakers and directors, and it's such a cool opportunity for me to collaborate with them and, like, see what they come up with. And I usually totally just hand it over to them and see how they are going to visually interpret the stuff I'm writing.
Now, for folks who don't know your backstory, you come from a showbiz family. Your mom, she's such a good voice actor. Peggy Hill on King of the Hill is one of my favorites. Your mom's Kathy and Jimmy. And your dad is an actor and a great musician, Dan Finnerty. Were the arts always part of your plan, given what was going on in your house?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the most of an education that I got in any subject. It was always around, and they like, I grew up listening to musical theater soundtracks with them, so I think there was a lot of, like, Sondheim that informed my songwriting. Mm-hmm. I was around it. I was around people who were doing it, and I think it made it exciting to me, but it also made me aware of, like, the downsides and the parts of it that were going to be harder for me to navigate and the things that I wanted to steer clear of.
What is something that you had to change or do because of the pandemic that you thought, you know what, this is actually okay. This is kind of this kind of works for me with the release of my debut album.
Oh, that's a good question. I think I've just, I mean, I don't know if this has anything to do with my album in particular, but I've just been healthier. I've been doing a lot less of anything that I don't want to do, because you can really only do things that are totally vital, that feel totally necessary, because there's so much risk involved. So I think, I mean, maybe it's bled into the album, the release process a little bit, just in that, like, you know, I feel like I'm really only participating in things and hanging around people who are super meaningful to me, which is a lot of what the album is about too.
You were kind enough to send in an exclusive performance of the song Triptych. Tell us what the song's about, what we should be listening for as we listen to this track, Triptych, from Samia. Samia, what is it? What should we listen for?
So I wrote it while I was going through a breakup, and I had been obsessed with the story of this painter, Francis Bacon, and his, like, lover and muse. There's a guy named George Dyer who was a burglar, and had this really reckless lifestyle. And ultimately, you know, Bacon sort of just enabled him for the sake of his art. And he ultimately overdosed in a hotel that Bacon paid for. And there's this beautiful triptych that Francis Bacon painted of his lover that's, like, you know, I was just obsessed with the story at the time because I felt like I could relate to both characters in a lot of ways. I could see myself as both characters in the situation I was in. And so I thought I would try to combine both of our stories in this song.
The name of the album is The Baby. It's from Samia. It's her debut. And this is a performance of Triptych. Samia, thanks for being on All of It.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
I'll give it up to every man I eyes closed, breathing an excuse, breathing.